Well, good morning, everybody. It's really great to see you today, and welcome to springtime. We kind of skipped spring, didn't we? Went straight to summer, but welcome to summertime. Looking forward to a great summer here. You know, summer's notoriously timed, and we encourage you to do this. People take vacation and all that, and we know that. But last summer, we grew right through the summer. So wouldn't that be great if we did that again this summer? Amen. Amen. Yeah. I like to start a little bit lighter. And so there was a couple that was married 50 years. And people always wonder, you know, how did somebody make it 50 years? And so this older couple had been married 50 years. And the younger couple said, how'd you do it? How'd you stay together for 50 years? And the guy said, well, I can tell you exactly how we did it. Nights down the canyon. And my wife and I were on the mule. And we were, and my wife had this look, and she walked a little bit further, and the mule stumbled again, and my wife said, that's three, with that. The mule right there, and the person said, well, that's awful, and it's crazy, you can't just kill that mule for stumbling, and she said, that's one. Then, major Mexican holiday, right? You know what I'm saying? No, that's all right. Nobody really in Mexico celebrates Cinco de Mayo. It's like a Cinco de Mayo was yesterday, and I say that only that today is a real major holiday that is being celebrated. Anyone know what today is? I didn't think so. They are celebrating a major holiday, one of the major events of the life of Jesus, and that is the ascension of Jesus, when Jesus ascended up into heaven after the resurrection. Today, in the Catholic churches, in the Lutheran churches, the Methodist churches, they are celebrating Ascension Sunday. Well, we have been in this series on the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus and how he appeared after the resurrection, and I had been planning all along to end the series with the ascension because it's the last appearance of Jesus. And so today is the last Sunday of our series, and I'd like to tell you I planned it that way, but I accidentally got it right. I'm actually preaching on the ascension of Jesus on the major holiday, Ascension, the major world church here on Cinco Seis de Mayo. Oh, there you go. On Seis de Mayo, we're celebrating Ascension Sunday. Your Bibles, if not, it'll be up on the screen. In my first book, I told you, talking about the first book. So this is the beginning of the book of Acts, and he says in the first book, Luke is the second book in a two-volume set. Series. The first book was the book of Luke. Luke wrote the first book. He told about everything that Jesus began. The life of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection. He lived, he died, he rose again. That's the story. And to do and teach, hold on to that thought, until the day he was taken up to heaven. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles alive. He's actually alive. It wasn't just a figment of some people in the graveyard's imagination. He hung around for 40 days, kept showing up in different places so that we would know he was actually alive. And he talked to them about a certain thing. He talked of God. And once he was eating with them and he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem baptized with water, but in just a few days you are going to be baptized. They kept asking, Lord, what has the time come for you to free Israel and to restore your kingdom? Translation, he replied, that's above your pay grade. What he actually said was list. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white robes, you standing here staring into heaven, Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will go. I really believe that in the heart of everybody that goes something like this, there's something wrong with this place. Always choosing to be non-controversial, I will say that Trump today, because of a slogan that he about, make America great again. I think there's another great again. Like Trump, don't look like Trump, hate Trump, love Trump. That is near and dear to the heart of every one of us that says there's something. And Jesus talks about that in terms of being human beings, this idea that somehow we are going to bring in this. And when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, by the way, it was this utopian idea. We would beat our swords into plowshares. That sword, and he talked about this great vision where people, so he went around healing people and setting people free, and those were all place called the kingdom of God that all of us wanted. And there's something inside of us, we internalize those thoughts politically. And that, you know, are you for Caesar? Are you against Caesar? How are we going to make the world great again? But when I was a kid, I was a kid during the Nixon administration, and if you remember in history studying, some of you remember history, some of you live, and the scandal that happened there, and the tapes came out. People were disillusioned with his presidency, and then in the wake in history, he almost just kind of goes down as the guy that followed Nixon for sort of bringing healing and living sort of a life of integrity during that, because that's just basically all we needed at that time, was just some guy to just show up to. Ford was remembered for. But then when I was himself as a peanut farmer from Georgia, he was actually a lot more than that. He was a nuclear physicist. Blame Jimmy Carter or not, a lot of bad things happened in his presidency. Is it the man or is it the times? Who knows? But for whatever reason, sky high. At the end, you'll appreciate this that type of economy. 21% interest rate. Inflation was run. He portrayed himself as a born again Christian, and it'll seem. He did an interview with Playboy magazine where they asked, he who has lusted in his heart has committed adultery. And people were like, oh my goodness, he's lusted in their hearts today. Amen. Okay, his presidency sort of started with high hopes and going on at the time, and we had hostages that were taken in Iran for four. We just felt like we were under this. They didn't even let Jimmy Carter get credit for releasing the hostages. They waited just a couple hours into his presidency. That's when they let the hostages. I was a young, probably 16, 17-year-old. He got up and he read from the Bible. He read the dream. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us. Therefore, we are glad. And I remember as a young, our hostages have been released. The America is getting back on track again. That old challenger went down. He was the comforter in chief. And he said this when he said, we will never forget that, and slipped the surly bonds of earth to touch the face of God. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Touch the face of God. And for many people, he sort of represented not all great during Reagan's era. There was trading arms for, in many ways, I was glad to be alive when he was president, but of God. It wasn't this utopian society. Barbara, who just passed away, George H.W. Bush, and then, you know, we had a reason to go to war, and George H.W. Bush sort of led us into that war with General Norrie, and I was a chaplain, studying to be a chaplain, and when that war broke out, and I had to leave seminary to go to Fort Campbell to minister to the watch news on television, I remember turning on the television the night that war, a hotel in Baghdad describing the bombs. Anybody remember that with me? I knew some of the guys that were over there and wondering how all of that was going to. His numbers were at all-time popular highs. It felt like this might be pain. No new taxes. Read my lips. Remember that? And then the Democrat. And then so he did it to try to be a good compromising president. And when he did it, he went down and he actually only served one term. But that was okay because Hope, Arkansas. Remember that? The man from Hope. Amen. Bill Clinton. he became president. And by the way, things were good during President Clinton's era. All kinds of really good things happened, and he actually brought about some reform. Look to as kind of a moderating kind of guy, but as you know, his presidency ended in scandal, and so any hopes that this could downhill. And then George Bush Jr. became president. He wasn't loved by the press. He was our president when 9/11 happened, and when 9/11 happened, some would give him credit through bringing us through that dark moment, and should we retaliate? And America, you remember at the time, America just kind of had this feeling like we'd just been hit in the mouth. You know, no one comes on our shores, you know, and knocks down one of our buildings. And everyone was like Democrats and Republicans. They're like holding hands together. Remember that? They're holding hands singing, God bless America. You know, and this is true. And they were all singing it together and like unanimously. We decided to go to war. And then when the war dragged on, everyone was like, George Bush, why did you bring us into this war? Remember that? Remember how that was? And so George Bush's legacy was kind of that mixed, you know, and it ended up not being exactly the kingdom of God. But this was a healing moment in America. I was actually with some Africans in our church in Illinois when Barack Obama was elected president, and the first African American president in American history, which was, I wasn't prepared for how the Africans in our church would respond. They had tears coming down their face when Barack Obama became the president. Now, I'm going to tell you, because of some of the policies, and I'll just tell you, I'm an Army guy, and John McCain, to me, was kind of a moderate guy. But by the way, while Barack Obama was working Twitter and Facebook and all that, John McCain didn't know how to text. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of him. I'm just saying it was a different era and all that, and Barack Obama just obliterated him in terms of how to do politics and get elected and all that. So Barack Obama won that election. But I admit I voted for John McCain, although I wanted to vote for Barack Obama as our first African-American president. All the Africans knew I'd voted for McCain, so I'm cheering like when he won Montana. You know, he won states that had like one electoral college vote and all that. And then Obama was winning all the big states. But we had great fun that night at that party at the African's house. And when it was over, they asked me to pray for our country. And we stood there, and tears coming down their face, we prayed together. And he became the president. And he had these sort of kingdom aspirations. It's really a kingdom idea that wouldn't it be great if we had free health care for all? And so this idea started to take root, free health care for all. And so the affordable health care ended up being a compromise of a bunch of different ideas, and people probably written by insurance companies, but at least we could say we took a vote and all the Affordable Care Act, which, by the way, has to do with some kingdom aspiration, and all of that would be wonderful. And I was a recipient of the Affordable Care Act, and I got to attempt at doing that, but because, I'm just going to say it, because we didn't work together, because we don't work together, we end up with these policies that we're looking for. By the way, I am rushing in where angels fear to tread. This mama, you know, we had the great challenge between Hillary Clinton and the first woman, the right woman would make a great president, and then there was on the other side somehow a great slogan. And by the way, I got to tell you, I went to his rally. I went to his rally. I had to see this that was going on downtown. I went to watch, and my son was, he's protesting across the street. I'm at the rally, not cheering for, but just watch. I'm just watching this surprise. He became president, and passed a tax reform bill. And the economy rose. It's not all been smooth, has it? And everything that we're going to have a responsive blue wave, and we're going to come back, and it's the Democrats that are going to make. Now, just take it from an old guy this morning who's lived through Republican. We need good politicians in office, and we need people that will work together and all those kinds of. Through your political party or for your choice, you're going to be sadly mistaken. We're going to be left disappointed, so much so that the Bible said, where is your hope? Some trust in chariots, confidence in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. in our country and not in all of those things that we normally put it in. It's in, I met a couple of years the greatest president that ever lived. I was in Sevierville, and I Sevierville, Illinois. I had to crop the picture because Abe Lincoln was smoking a cigarette while we were talking, but that's me and Abe right there. From Abraham Lincoln to Ronald Reagan to Jimmy Carter to whatever your other kingdom. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the kingdom of God. He's been life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus are only the beginning. Because I'm going to be with my Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Theophilus, I'm writing you this book. I wrote to you the first book about all that Jesus, but it's not over yet. It was only the beginning. The book of Acts is living in the book of Acts. Jesus is still alive. He's still at work. He's all that we read about in the life and of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death. It's only the beginning. So what is the kingdom of God? First of all, we've been guilty of talking about heaven like some pie in the sky. Everything. And that's true that that's going to happen in heaven. But let me tell you what Jesus taught us to pray. That all of those good things that we're looking for, all this kingdom, all of this where the oppressed get set free, where the lost get found, this is not just something that's about heaven. The next thing is it's not simply spirit criticized because we're so concerned with saving people's souls that we don't care oppressed people that need to be set free. And so it's not just Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. That's what we're to announce. Some translated that God had given him a word that this particular year was going to be the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus said, this is the year of the Lord's favor. He's saying between now and the time of setting the oppressed free, of feeding the hungry, of seeing lost souls come to Jesus. Another thing that the kingdom of God is not is the church. I grew up in a denomination we thought we were the right church. If you come to our church, God, you know what the problem with that is? The church is filled with flawed people like me and you. I think that that's where the kingdom of God is located and being in the right church. Come to Life Church. But that's not what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is not churches that have quit preaching that Jesus can save your soul and the character, and they've just said it's social justice, just feeding the hungry, and kingdom of God is. Romans 14:7 says, for the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit, it is internal, it's external, but yes, it's also internal in the whole of reality. We get to be a part of seeing the kingdom to the mission. When we go to water angels and we preach the gospel, we're bringing the kingdom of God with us. That is the kingdom of God. It's where or red people, it's for every nation of the earth. Amen. That's the kingdom of God. Another thing about the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God is already. And what that means is that there and he says that Jesus is going to come back. He says that every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess to God the Father. Literally in Charleston, South Carolina on a trail and I almost stepped on an alligator and the alligator's not going to eat me. Hallelujah. The lion's going to. But it's already, but it's not. Don't locate all of that to heaven. We are to, right now, folks, we are to right now coming because right now we get to be a part. There's a scripture that says occupational force that goes in behind enemy lines. And Jesus comes again. That's the major force that's coming again that's going to. And we get to see lost people found. We get to feed the hungry. We get to be part of. Already and not yet. I'm preaching better than you're responding today. Amen. Layla, Lula, Loyola. And it's not yet. So we get to be a part of seeing this about politics. I still want good people in office, and I want all of those things to happen. But I know it doesn't matter whether you're, what is it, blue or red. You know, sometimes churches are aligning themselves politically. I go to this church because it's a Donald Trump church. This is a Hillary Clinton church. You come to this church, I'm going to disappoint all politics. Amen? Amen? Amen. Thank you, all three of you that agree with that statement. Amen. So, this is the message of the Ascension, that we are witnesses of the kingdom, not speculators. You know, It's a multi-million dollar industry. People that are speculating about when Jesus is going to come. There was a famous book that came out in 1988 called 88 Reasons. Crazy in 1988. 1989, sales went down. But 2019 Reasons Why He's Coming in 2019. You're not to be speculators about when I'm going to do my part. You do your part. It's coming. So we are to be witnesses, not spectators. Jerusalem, those are the people like us. They're only half like us. Samaritans were half Jews. And I'm going to blow the doors off this thing and we're going to the ends of the earth so that we're no longer Jewish. We're witnesses, not spectators. Jesus is really alive. He was really alive. The reason that's a big deal is because if he's really alive, it says a lot about what the church is to be like today. A life-giving church. A church that's not talking about alive, and he's still touching people, and he can still change your life. Amen. Interesting part of the passage we read today that says these two guys showed. Those same two guys showed up in Luke. Those same two guys showed up in Luke. And what they said is, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why should church be dead? Church that Jesus is alive, therefore we're alive and we're seeing God do. That Jesus is really alive, that Jesus is coming again. So we're not just, Christ has risen, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ is coming again. Hope in Christ, Paul said, is for this life we are more to be pitied than